Greetings, friends, and welcome to the Beach Church Podcast. This is the podcast for Sunday, August 18th, the year of our Lord, 2024, and this is the 13th Sunday after Pentecost. Peace to you, and greetings in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. It is a joy to welcome you here to the podcast. I pray this will be a time of renewal and reconnection. And let's just jump right in and do what is our custom and practice here to begin in a spirit of thanksgiving. And we do that by taking in the breath of life and holding it, not just holding it, savoring it and naming it. It's the breath of life. It's a gift from Almighty God. And as you breathe, and as you give thanks, call to mind those things in your life that are the best, the people that you love most, your favorite places, the best stories from your life. And as you breathe, and as you call to mind the things that are excellent and pure and true and worthy and lovely, perhaps just stretch your arms out wide and extend your fingers as far as they'll go. Turn your face toward the heavens. Thank God for this moment, this gift. And in this posture, in this state of mind, let's begin together in worship. Please join with me in the opening prayer as printed in your digital bulletin. You can find that bulletin just to the left of where you found today's podcast. It's right there. A little tab says Sermon Notes. You click on that, tap on it, and the bulletin will come up for you. Let's begin. Living God, you are the giver of wisdom and true discernment, guiding those who seek your ways to choose the good. Mercifully grant that your people, feasting on the true bread of heaven, may have eternal life in Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Friends, our gospel reading today comes from John's gospel in the 6th chapter, verses 51 through 58. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Whoever eats of this bread will live forever. And the bread that I will give you for the life of the world is my flesh. The Jews then disputed among themselves, saying, "How can this man give us his flesh to eat?" So Jesus said to them, "Very truly I tell you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Those who eat my flesh and drink my blood have eternal life, and I will raise them up on the last day. For my flesh is true food, and my blood is true drink. Those who eat my flesh and drink my blood abide in me, and I in them. Just as the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so whoever eats me will live because of me. This is the bread that came down from heaven, not like that which the ancestors ate and they died. But the one who eats this bread will live forever. This is the word of God for the people of God, and we give thanks to God for it. Let's pause for a moment and pray. Heavenly Father, we gather here around your good word, and we give you thanks for it. This word that is alive, this word that lives among us. And we pray, O God, to be fed by this good word. So we pray for your presence with us, that you would incline our ear, that you would sharpen our minds so that we could hear you, that we could truly hear you speak. Please, O God, speak. We, your servants, are listening. And we humbly ask, save us from distraction. Save us from misinterpretation. Lead us to your truth. We pray this in your holy name, and we say, Amen. Friends, we continue on in the sixth chapter of John's Gospel as we dig in and try to understand what Jesus means when he says, I am the bread of life, that I am true food, I am true drink, that there is a sustenance, an eternal life available in Jesus that can't be met anywhere else. Quick summary of how we got to today. The beginning of chapter 6, a crowd gathers. A crowd that has heard of or participated in the healing ministry of Jesus. The blind see, the lame walk, fevers are cooled, and the word is out. In the presence of Jesus, there is healing, and people come seeking that healing. With that healing comes unbelievable teaching, teaching with authority. Their stories told to them in a way they've never heard or understood them before. And so the crowd gathers, and the crowd is hungry. But all they have are a few loaves of bread and some fish. But in the hands of Jesus, in the anointing and in the prayer of Jesus, everybody's fed. And an important point in John's gospel is he does the feeding. All 5,000 plus sit down. Everyone is fed until they're fully satisfied, and there's plenty left over. And all of the leftovers are gathered into 12 baskets so that nothing would be wasted. Well, everyone loves this idea of being healed and fed, and they see that Jesus is the source of healing and feeding, and they want to keep him there. I want to capture him and make him king. And Jesus realized they're missing the point. They always miss the point. And so he retreats to counsel with the Father. He goes off and prays. And the disciples go off ahead of him to the other side of the lake. At some point, Jesus breaks his retreat and he comes walking across the lake and rescues the disciples from a storm, and they find their way to the other side. And the next day, the hungry masses catch up to him. And he realizes they're not there because they've all of a sudden grasped what it is that's going on. They're there because they're hungry again. Maybe they have an idea that they saw all the leftovers of bread and fish and they want more of that. And Jesus quickly gets to the point where he says, "You came here looking for more bread and more fish. But I tell you, don't spend your life in that unbreakable cycle. There's something more. There is a food that satisfies beyond the bread and the fish. And I am that food. I am the way to that kind of peace and a satisfied way of living. Don't you see? Here I am. And you know I could not do any of this if the Father and I weren't one, if God were not working through me." And today we have this very graphic illustration of what he means by that. When Jesus said to them in verse 53, we'll use, Jesus said to them, "Very truly, I tell you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you." It's jarring. It's disturbing to hear. It's a bit grotesque. If you just take it at its face value, if you just look at the words on the page, if you don't consider it in the context of what has happened before, and those of us who are blessed to be hearing the story in our place and time, where we know how the story unfolds, and if you haven't read the story all the way through, please bless yourself by reading the story all the way through. But if we go back for a point of illustration of the things that Jesus has done leading up to this point, beyond the feeding and beyond the healings that took just place just before chapter 6, go all the way back to chapter 3, the very famous story of Nicodemus, a teacher, a Pharisee, who comes to Jesus under the cover of darkness so as not to be seen by his colleagues, because it's starting to get to his heart. He realizes, certainly, that Jesus could not do the things he does if he weren't one with the Father. But how can it be? And Jesus says, well, here's how it is. You must be born again. You must be born of the Spirit. You need to see the world in a whole new way. But Nicodemus, once again, is just taking the words at face value. And he says, how can you be born again? I'm old. I can't go back into my mother's womb. What kind of teaching is this? I think Jesus pauses and smiles in a way. He's certainly frustrated because this is a teacher of his people. And he can't grasp something that feels to Jesus elemental and true and evident in the signs and wonders. It's of the Spirit. It's of the things that you can't name or control. It's kind of like the wind, Nicodemus. It comes from somewhere and you feel it brush over your face and you can hear it in your ears and then it goes off somewhere else. It's very real, but you can't control it. It's a life. It's a force. It's a spirit. It is a person. It's me. Life in my presence. To believe in and to be like me is an everlasting, satisfying life. And so that's where we encounter today. Jesus standing in front of a crowd, some of them Pharisees and scribes, the smart people, if you will. And they have these same questions. And of course, if a teacher was standing, if you had no context and no understanding of this gospel, and you just hear the teaching that you need to eat my flesh and drink my blood, you would say, huh, a cannibalism cult? You can count me out. But clearly, that is not what Jesus is starting here. He is asking this crowd to engage in what he's saying, think deeply about what he's saying, saying it to that crowd and saying it to us. That we are to eat of him, to take him into ourselves so that we would be more like him. And that with every eating, with every time we seek to consume, take in the wholeness of Jesus, we become more like him. And when we don't, we starve. Last week I used the illustration in worship. I don't think I did it on the podcast, but there's a friend of ours, a member of the church, who is coming to the end of his life. He's been battling an illness for some time, and it has withered him. It's a sturdy, strong man who's been reduced to about 130 pounds. And there's a hospital bed in his living room. And yet he has a strength about him. He doesn't eat much. He doesn't have an appetite for bread, for food. But he has a countenance about him that is unmistakable. A peace and a resolve. And it struck me when I had the chance to sit with him and anoint him and pray with him that his life is sustained by Christ, who is the bread of life for him. It is through faith that he has the resolve for each new day. It is by faith that he has the strength to continue to care about and care for his wife as they make big plans right now for her life after his passing. Everything that he could muster at this point on is so clearly evident a gift from God, because the capacity of earthly food to sustain him has passed. You know people like this. You might be experiencing this in your own life right now. It's mysterious, it's powerful, and it's true, it's real. So now when we hear Jesus say, eat my flesh and drink my blood. And we know there's never a moment in any of the Gospels where he offers a physical piece of himself. He doesn't ask anyone to take a bite of his arm. He's saying, consume, take me in. This is how serious I am. Take me into yourself. And while John doesn't have an institution of the Lord's Supper, there is no breaking of the bread and the pouring of the wine like we have in the other Gospels. This has clear connection and implication for Eucharist, for Holy Communion, where we as Christians understand the real presence of Jesus under the forms of bread and wine. It is a way that we can hear and then understand and practice what Jesus means when he says, eat of my flesh and drink of my blood. Take me in to yourself. And beyond the sacrament, what we're doing right now together is that same thing. We're taking Jesus into our lives. We're feeding our eternal souls by meditating on the words of God that will sustain us when earthly food is scarce or when we have no appetite for it, because we're going to be making the journey home. Our eternal home. And in that making of that journey, we find peace. But we don't need to wait until then for it to be so painfully obvious. The invitation is to start now. that heaven is a real place, that God the Father is a real person, and Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, came and showed us truth and light and the excellent way to live, the eternal way to live. And if we want it, all we need do is ask for it and participate in it. So as we reflect on Scripture today, as you read your Bible, as you pray, as you seek silence, and if all those things are hard or difficult for you, just start. Even if you feel like, I read it and I don't understand, or I pray and I don't know what I'm doing, make it a leap of faith. Call out to God, and it will be provided for you. God is with us. God walked our earth, breathed our air, experienced our joys, experienced our suffering, forgives us, calls us, wants nothing more than to love us and to be in relationship with us. But we have to take it in. We have to consume it. We have to eat of it. I have nothing clever to say about any of this. I just know that it's true. I just know it. I know it. There is a God who walked the earth in the person of Jesus, who gave us the gift of the Holy Spirit, so that we might be able to see and hear and make our way through this world like he did, knowing that we will be with him forever. It's the whole reason John writes the gospel. If you flip to the end of John's gospel, he'll tell you why he wrote it to begin with, so that you'd come to know that Jesus is Lord, that you could come and feast here always. It is remarkably good news. It's beyond good news. It's life. Life everlasting. To which I say, Amen. Let's turn to God in prayer. Heavenly Father, we come to you and we pray. And we stand among this crowd that seeks to be fed. And we confess that we get it wrong sometimes. We confess that faith is hard sometimes. But we want what you have. We want to take you into ourselves. So we pray that you will forgive us, that we would be the recipients of your grace and your peace. And we give you thanks. We thank you for the gift of your Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who is the bread of life. And with fledgling faith and incomplete understanding, we seek to eat of the bread of life. Always. And you know each and every one of us. You know everything about us. There's nothing that we can hide from you. And so fully vulnerable in front of you, God, we ask of you, bring into this world your peace. Help the people of power and influence to come to a saving faith in you, so that their words wouldn't be empty rhetoric or false promises that they could preach and conduct themselves in truth and in goodness. And you know our friends and our neighbors and our families. You know our needs. And you know our celebrations, our joys. And we pray your presence in the midst of all of it, that we could more clearly see you in the midst of all of it. And so in this moment of prayer, with you so very near, O God, we're going to take a moment together to be quiet, to just sit quietly in your presence, so that we could pour out our hearts to you, to ask for your help, to ask for your joy and your peace and your hope and your love, to meet us right here and now in this quiet moment. We break our silence. It seems all too soon. But we thank you for the gift of peace and quiet. And we pray that you'll help us to practice this gift every day. And we thank you for the gospel writers and for the courage and the faith of the early church and the generations that have come afterwards. Men and women that have preserved for us our story. And among the things that they have saved for us is a prayer that you taught your first disciples. And we've learned it in different ways, O God, but the truth of it is ever present. And so we ask that you would hear us as we say together, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Thank you. So, my dear friends, as we prepare to go our separate ways, I pray that we will all do so encouraged and inspired to feast, to take in the love of God through the person of Jesus. By focusing on God's good word, by praying, by participating in the sacraments of the church, by loving God and loving neighbor, we will be sustained forever by our good God, loved forever. Our God that we know in three persons, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, blesses you and bids you peace. Go in peace. Amen.